He says, please forgive us. He doesn't say only, please forgive him. Please forgive us. So the servant is characterized here. Three bad qualifications. First, a janata, one who is ignorant. Mudhena, we all know what mudha means. Foolish, like an ass. And akarya vedina, not knowing his proper duty. As the representative of Varunadev, he's supposed to know what the master knows. Actually, first it's interesting to note that we hear about how the demigods are in charge of so many things. 33 crores of demigods that control so many things. So Varunadev is in charge of the waters. And so when they do these things, of course, they don't do them alone. They have helpers to do things. They have bureaucrats beneath them dealing with different functions of the universe. So there are millions and millions, tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of persons who have responsibilities in the background. We don't see them because our vision is not refined. Those with proper vision can see them. In fact, we're being trained to see how there are persons, personalities behind all of these things. So there are so many of them. They have all these great demigods. They have their assistants. And of course, they're very powerful. Varunadev, in charge of all the different oceans and seas and rivers and all the different bodies of water. He has great power. He has great opulences, great mystic powers. Later in the, I'm forgetting whether this is in the Bhagavatam or it's just in the burning of the Khandava forest. Maybe that's only in the Mahabharata. So in that burning of that forest, Agnidev asked, Agnidev was trying to devour this forest, eat the forest, and he was up against Indra, who will send the rain. So he wanted some help from Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram, he gave Varunadev, Agnidev asked Varuna to give them some weapons to work with. And so that's when Arjuna got the Gandiva bow. He got it from Varunadev. He got the Gandiva bow and he got the, I forget what the Sanskrit is, but it's a quiver that's inexhaustible. Many arrows as he could shoot, he wouldn't run out. And he also gave him the flag of Hanuman, that of course was prominently featured in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So these things came from Varunadev. So a very powerful personality. And he has all his servants and representatives. And they're not supposed to be ignorant. Akarya Vedina, not knowing his proper duty. Vedina, it says, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who has an Acharya, spiritual master, is supposed to know from the spiritual master. He's supposed to be in knowledge. He's supposed to know Vedic literature. We can apply this principle that's being spoken of here. The representative of Varuna should know what his duties are. But he didn't know some technical aspect of his duty. This word bureaucrat is, of course, very significant because bureaucrats, they're supposed to know all the little details and all the manuals. Well, if you go to India, you'll see what bureaucracy really means. Everything, to cash a check in a bank, you have to go through six different people and every one of them has to sign and triplicate, and it's just amazing. And then everyone knows exactly what his job is, and you can't bypass him. No, no, no. This is my job, and they're very proud of it. So they're supposed to know their little niche. And so he's this servant, apparently, that was his job to do something when people were doing the rituals in the wrong way, but he did not actually understand what his job was, although his master knew. Similar episode, of course, takes place with Yamaraj and Ajamil. Because when the Vishnu Dutas, when they were stopped by the Vishnu Dutas, they were bewildered. They said, no, this person's a sinful Obviously, if anybody's ready for belongs to go to hell, it's this person. Look at his life. But the Vishnu Duta, they said, no, stop. He's not yours. He's ours. So they went back to Yamaraj and they said, what's going on here? We're trying to do our duty. And these Vishnu Dutas stopped us from doing our duty. So then, of course, Yamaraj explained, well, there are exceptions. When somebody chants the name of Krishna, then you don't take them. Krishnaya no namati naschire kadapi. There's this verse which I'm forgetting exactly, but Yamaraj says, you don't bring to me anybody, or you bring to me those who never once chant the name of the Lord, who never once bow their head to Krishna, who completely neglect their duties to Lord Vishnu in the human form of life. You bring me all those fools and rascals, but don't bring me anyone who has chanted the holy name of the Lord. So the Vishnu Dutas, Prabhupada spoke in this section of the Bhagavatam, 1975, he was speaking on it when he came to Berkeley when I was there. So he gave quite a few classes, and you know, often this point came up, that as the representative of Yamaraj, Yamaraj of course is Dharmaraj, so he knows Dharma, he knows all the details, so his servants are also supposed to know all the details and all the exceptions to the rules and so on. And of course, because dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, dharma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then especially the devotees are following dharma. Dharma stapana hetu sadura vyavahara. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you want to know what dharma is, you see what the devotees are doing. Sadhu. Dharma stapana hetu sadura vyavahara. By their activities, you will know what is dharma. Sometimes a new person comes to the temple and they don't know what to do. You say, well, just do what the others are doing. Then you'll know. That's dharma. So, Mahajano yena gata sapanta, of course, also. We follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. So the representatives, the Yamadutas, they're supposed to know what Yamaraj knows. The representatives of Varunadev are supposed to know what he knows. And of course, we're supposed to know what Prabhupada knows. What the spiritual master knows, that's what he's teaching us. Guru Mukha Vakya, Chitete Koriya Aikya. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Koriya Aikya. Let my consciousness be one with the words of my spiritual master. Adamani Koriya Asha, Guna Koriya Asha. Let me have no other desire than that. Let my only desire be that I'm fixed in what my spiritual master is saying. What that means, of course, that one has to hear from the spiritual master over and over, because we're so dull-headed. In former times, people would hear things once and they would remember. Last week or so, I've been reading, I read from several different books, but one of the things I've been reading, which I hadn't read in a long time, was the Pranjan story. Those chapters of the Bhagavatam in the fourth canto. So we get the whole allegory. So as the allegory unfolds, of course, in Prabhupada's purports, he explains what everything means. And there's a lot of repetition there. A lot of points are repeated. Same verses are quoted often. And then you get to one of the last chapters is when Narada Muni explains to King Prachinabharisha what an allegory means. So you get the same explanation over again, and in the purports there's a lot of repetition. And I was thinking that actually so much of what we read from Prabhupada, it's not like we're reading something new, like I'm getting new information. Of course, we tend to want new information. We always like to learn new things. I remember I was in the temple for a week and I was thinking, is anybody ever going to tell me something new? Something I haven't heard before? So we may feel that way. But why is that? Because obviously we're not getting it. Because sometimes I think, why does Prabhupada do that? It's as if he's preaching to someone who's never heard this before. And they, well, obviously, he just told me this two purports ago. Why is he telling me this again? So obviously has his reasons. Huh? He knows he's trying to get through, penetrate through our thick skulls what he's saying. Because even though we may hear, well, we're not really hearing. Actually, we're not getting it. Huh? It's just like that pasyana pina pasyati. We see, but we don't really see. So we hear, but are we really hearing? Is it really penetrating? So that's why we have to hear repeatedly. And if the idea of this, may my consciousness be one with the words of my spiritual master, that means we have to be absorbed in that. In order for our consciousness to be one, then it has to be focused. Vya vasayatmika buddhi. That's what we should want to hear. Because that's why do we go to the spiritual master to hear what is Shreya Uttamam, what is ultimately beneficial for us. Other things we hear, what is the benefit? We can be so distracted by hearing so many other things. I myself have been thinking recently, I know this is a little controversial, but at least this is my own conviction, that we don't even need to hear the news. I think this becomes kind of an addiction to devotees. It becomes kind of a sense gratification. You know, I have a television, and well, I can watch the news. I mean, what's wrong with watching the news? I remember years ago I was doing Lilamrita. Of course, then I was still an innocent brahmachari, and I was traveling around doing interviews for Lilamrita. And I went to one temple, and I was trying to make a schedule to speak with the temple president. And finally, I got the opportunity. It was like 6 or 6:30 in the evening, and he was so nervous because the news came on at 7 o'clock. He just, you know, he had to watch the news at 7 o'clock. He just couldn't miss the news. So I was thinking, really? You know, is it really that important? Of course, devotees will say, well, no, you have to know what's going on in the world. But Prabhupada didn't really pay much attention. He was the world preacher. In fact, I was reading recently in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, in order to preach, one must be a pure devotee. And I thought, oh, boy. But then I was thinking, well, actually, Prabhupada is the preacher, and we're just his servants. He's the one who's preaching. Just like it wasn't the monkeys who built the bridge, it was Lord Ram. It was his power. So we're all a bunch of monkeys, and Prabhupada is the one who's actually preaching. Of course, we're, in some sense, Prabhupada gave us the credit for being pure devotees, for following him. But do we really need to know that much about what's going on in the world? Even myself, and say, like in BTG, like could be writing about, you know, topical things, but it's really, you know, our news, by the time it appears in BTG, it's 3 or 4 months old. It's not news anymore. It's old. It's old news. And I was thinking, even if people, they challenge, well, don't you know what's going on in the world? That we can explain philosophically why it's not important, actually, what these rascals are doing. There were times here and there when Prabhupada, like there was a war between India and Pakistan he wanted to see. But generally, it wasn't like every day Prabhupada had to read the newspaper. But obviously, he could preach to anyone, anywhere. He preached to the biggest people in society. So anyway, this is my own conviction, that even that can be sense gratification. What to speak about other things we might be inclined to hear. So better to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the eternal news. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had a daily newspaper. Instead of reading the Calcutta Tribune or whatever it is, you read Nadia Prakash, broadcasting the glories of Nadia. That's the news we want to hear. The problem is we think it's old news. That's the problem. The real old news is what we read today in the newspaper. That newspaper, what's it worth tomorrow? You can line your birdcage with it. Doesn't have a lot of value tomorrow. But the Bhagavatam news, 5,000 years old, or it's eternal, and it never gets old. Of course, for those who are really interested in that news, they can hear the same thing over and over and over again. Prabhupada never get tired of it. I always like this story of Prabhupada hearing Krishna book in New Vrindavan one year. Prabhupada was present on Janmashtami, and they were reading from Krishna book over hours and hours. Of course, everyone was in fasting, everyone was tired. And I remember one devotee was giving the description. All the sannyasis were lined up in front of Prabhupada with their dandas, and you could see all the dandas bobbing. all the sannyasis were falling asleep. And the Prabhupada was wide awake and he was listening and drinking in the nectar. So that's the difference. But that's our duty. Fill our ears. We were hearing this morning, filling the ears with the sound of Krishna's flute. The gopis fill their ears with the sound. So if you have to fill your ears with that so other things don't go in. We fill our ears with transcendental sound vibration, not so mundane sounds don't come in. For our consciousness, Arya Kariya Mane Asha. Recently I was noticing, just like the other day I mentioned it in the Guru Vashtakam, the Bhagavat Prasad is mentioned in the fourth verse and also in the eighth verse. So Bhagavat Prasad, in one place it means Krishna's mercy, in the other place it means Krishna's prasadam that we eat. So they're both Krishna's mercy. So in this prayer, also in Guru Vandana, Arya Kariya Mane Asha, may I have only one desire, no other desire than this, that my consciousness be fixed on the words that are coming from my spiritual master's lotus mouth. And then right after that it says, the spiritual master will fill all your asha. He will fill all your desires. So just previously it says you're only supposed to have one desire. So the spiritual master will fulfill that desire. He will help you. If that is your desire, he will help you fulfill that desire. Of course, Prabhupada, if our desire is to hear from Prabhupada, he's certainly given us enough to hear. Lately I've been in a little kind of a panicking state thinking, oh my gosh, I may not be able to read all the Bhagavatam before I die. I'm getting old. There's so much to read. I've started reading the books over again from the beginning because there's so much there. We may read something, we may not read it again for 10, 20 years because there's just so much there in Prabhupada's books. So he's certainly given us enough to fill our ears and overflow. So we're meant to, why did Prabhupada write all these books? They're written for us. Sometimes when I read them, I think, I have to remind myself, no, Prabhupada wrote this for us. He wrote these things for us. He said to book distributors that this isn't just for you to give out, it's meant for you to read also. Read these books. So he's speaking to us in the early morning hours when Prabhupada was dictating in his ecstasy. This is his ecstasy. We're able to take part in that ecstasy, get his intimate association in that way. This is the important association we hear when, of course, we have Prabhupada's appearance day and disappearance day, and devotees like to hear about Prabhupada coming, and on Sundays we're hearing these tapes of devotees. They're really nice, these remembering Srila Prabhupada, this chronological series. So, you know, it's ecstatic when we hear how ecstatic devotees were when they got to see Prabhupada. But, you know, we know that Prabhupada himself said that, or implied, we should be as ecstatic to hear from Srila Prabhupada, to have his association through the ear, not just through the eye. Because even though devotees were seeing Prabhupada, of course it's said in the Bhagavatam, Akshnopalam Twadusha Darshanam, he to see is the perfection of the eyes, Sudurlabha Bhagavata Hidloke, because to have the direct darshan of a pure devotee is extremely rare. So there's no doubt that that's the perfection of the eyes to see Srila Prabhupada. But it's also the perfection of the ears to hear Srila Prabhupada. And it's the perfection of our minds to absorb the lessons that he's giving us. And it's all the same on the transcendental platform. The potency is the same. So we need to take advantage. And just for the sake of being Prabhupada's representatives, it ties into this verse. As Varunadeva's servant was supposed to be his representative, so we're meant to be representatives of Srila Prabhupada. And he expected us to come up to a certain level. He wanted us to be preachers. He wanted us to understand the philosophy, not to be defeated, to be able to defeat others by hearing him. He trained us in so many ways. That, of course, is one other reason for the repetition, because he's teaching us arguments, but we tend to forget them. We think we read so much, and then we say it's time to give class, and we think, oh, what am I going to say? I can't think of anything. I've been reading Prabhupada's books for 30 years, and I can't think of anything to say. You know, so of course, naturally, public speaking is one of people's great fears. They're sometimes on the top of the list, the people say what they're afraid of. So you get stage fright. So, but still, the idea is that's why we have to hear repeatedly, because then it will come out. When we begin to speak, then Prabhupada's words will come out. We will be filled with them. We will be filled with them, and his words will become our words, rather than whoever the latest, you know, news broadcaster is. These things are not going to help us. They're not going to help us preach, and they're not going to help us when Yamaraj comes either, or his representatives come. If we start reciting the evening news, it's not going to help us. There's not going to be any spiritual potency in that. We have to know what Prabhupada said, what Prabhupada told us. And that's what we have to be thinking of. That's the whole point, isn't it? Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Be fixed in our intelligence so we're not distracted. We know this test is going to come. What's going to happen? What's going to happen at that moment? Actually, I just found an enlivening. I actually took it out to put it in Vedic Thoughts and BTG. It was Uddhava speaking when he went to Vrindavan. And he said that at the moment of death, if you remember Krishna even for a moment, at the time of death, if you remember Krishna even for a moment, then you'll go back to Godhead. I thought, wow, maybe I can breathe a little bit easier, because the whole what's going to happen at death is always really scary. Everything starts closing in on you. I've even heard some devotees passing away. We often hear devotees passed away peacefully, and devotees surrounded by devotees chanting the holy names. Well, that doesn't always happen. I remember Gauri Dasi. I heard that she was a very wonderful devotee, great preacher, book distributor, dedicated to Prabhupada. She was passing away shortly before. She said, "This is intense." And I heard another devotee, whose name I won't mention, that he was flailing and the devotees were screaming in his ear the Maha Mantra. He was also an advanced devotee. So the time can come and it can be quite disturbing. How will I remember you when my voice is choking up? I can't breathe. It's like if someone's choking you. What are you going to do? You're going to freak out, right? Like Prabhupada said, the parrot, what's the parrot going to do? It may have learned, Hare Krishna, but death is coming, it's just going to go, wah, wah, wah. So we don't want to squawk at the time of death. We want to chant Hare Krishna, because that's what our mind and hearts have been filled with for so many years. But we shouldn't take it lightly, of course, the potency of being under Prabhupada's protection. That's how he's protecting us, by smothering us with his mercy. Pakshinam. We're under his protection, just like a bird. Baby bird is under the wing. So we're under his protection. If we take that protection, always and repeatedly, take that protection, and also become his bona fide representatives in this world for others. So the verse again. Ajanata mamakena mudhena karyavedina anito yam tavapita tadbhavan kshantumarhati. Your father who is sitting here was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us. Questions or comments?
Very nicely you have given explanation. This Nadia Prakash, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book, was very nicely explained that one devotee had a doubt, so he says, Prabhupada, how am I going to publish every day some new news? He says, don't they have a newspaper? He says, oh yeah, they have a newspaper, they have a new news. He says, no, there's a body. They have only eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and birth, death, old age, disease. Anything beside this? There's nothing. It's limited. We are connected with infinite. How can you say what should be the worry? We should have unlimited information.
Yeah.
Also, another point I was it gave me some very good hope that the purport of that nasto moho smriti labdha maya tat prasada dacchate stito asmigata sandeha karishya vachanam tava, that when Arjuna finally surrendered after his moho is vanished or finished. So Srila Bharata Vidya Bhushan Thakur give that comment that those devotees like Kaliya, he was inimical to the Lord. But because he was hearing, when time came that his moho is destroyed, he started composing poem. And the question came, how did he learn? He was a demon. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada writes, those devotees who are listening or hearing Prabhupada, sometime maybe doubt will come, that this is my opinion, doubt may come that I don't remember, as you said, like after 30 years, all of a sudden somebody may think. It's true, but nothing is lost. Same example he gave also Indradyumna Maharaj when he became Gajendra. As Indradyumna Maharaj he remembers, but as Gajendra he doesn't remember. But when real moment came, he started praying, Bhuri Korunaya, all these beautiful verses. So nothing is lost. Devotee should feel happy that one day it will come out, all the things we heard.
Yeah, I think about that in the future. Even I don't know if any of you, you marked this, when Bhakti Maharaj Swami was here the other day when he was talking about, you know, don't have to be afraid of death because we'll get a rejuvenated body in the next life. So I was thinking, that's usually not the way devotees talk about death. They usually talk about, we're going to go back to Godhead. I thought, well, maybe he's revealing what his thoughts are, that maybe most of us are going to get another body in the next life. You know? But then I thought, well, actually, even if we go on, at least at some point, this remembrance will come at some time. Because we've already learned about Krishna, we've learned about Lord Chaitanya, so this is eternal knowledge. It's there with us now. So it will be revived at some point. You know? We're not going to lose that. So yeah, that we're fortified with that. We have that. Swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. So the more we... And then, of course, the stronger the impression is. We talk about samskars, you know, to make an impression, like engrave an etching in our consciousness. So the more we hear, the stronger it gets. You know, the more you rub something, the deeper you want to etch something. So if you really want a good groove, then the more we hear it, the deeper it gets, the more that impact is there. Then it's easier to recall it, the more it's repeated. Question, Rupa? I just want to insert one thing. You mentioned the eating, sleeping, mating, defending. I thought it was interesting the other day in the morning we were reading, and Prabhupada, instead of saying eating and sleeping, he said food and shelter. And I thought, well, that's an interesting way to say it. You know, maybe people might understand that, because they talk about food, clothing, and shelter as the needs. So if food, then I thought, well, food, shelter, and then mating, we say a mate. You need a mate. And then fearing, you can say security. So, right? It's another way to state the same things that everybody can understand. Everybody wants these four things. They eat and play. They want food and they want shelter and they want a mate and they want security. Just another way to phrase the same thing. Go ahead.
So the servant... As servants of Srila Prabhupada, of his society, ISKCON, we also have the responsibility of making sure, just like, you know, not being foolish, not being ignorant, and serving our master, Srila Prabhupada, disciplic succession, according to our transcendental knowledge we've been given and practical instructions as well. But I see that... I see my own tendency, you know, and I see it reflected in the American people, and that, you know, when there's something wrong, when there's a political scandal, I mean, boy, does the news have fun with revealing all the information about any politician's personal life and scandal. So we also have that as a society that we don't, I don't feel personally responsible when leaders in our society fall down or have some scandal. I don't feel personally responsible to right the wrongs of the society, the injustices, the child abuse, the women's issues, on and on it goes. But shouldn't we? How do we? And how do we get from where we are? You know, like, I haven't been in a management position for a number of years. Before, it was my responsibility, it was my duty to make sure everything was going according to Prabhupada's instructions in the temple I was serving. But now I've, you know, pulled back, I've separated myself, I've put my little comfortable barriers around, and it's not my job, it's not my duty, I have my service. So what's the, you know, what is our responsibility? I mean, this verse and this purport are so, it's like, whoa, it's like shining a light, like, no, it is my responsibility, it is your responsibility. How do we fulfill that?
Well, a couple of thoughts. One is that I was thinking about how Prabhupada would sometimes say that you don't have to change your position to be Krishna conscious, your situation. So it seems like part of the answer is that whatever, however Krishna arranges our lives in a certain way, that there are people who have responsibility for certain things. So that must be Krishna's arrangement, that they're in positions where they can, because first of all, a lot of us don't have any, what can we do? Just like in American politics, for example, you know, there are certain, you know, on the radio, these guys will tell you, you know, you have to surrender your life to politics, basically, you're not a good American citizen. So there may be, you know, some sense that everybody has to get involved, but I don't know if that was Prabhupada's mood, that everybody needs to be second-guessing what the management is doing or having their eyes on the management. But there are, it seems like we have enough responsible leaders in positions of responsibility who can do something about the situation. So it's not that all of us... I had an experience recently where somehow or other I got an email, and the email was something I was interested in, and it took me to a website that was not an ISKCON website, and was actually a very critical of ISKCON website. And ISKCON, a website very critical of everybody in ISKCON. And I was thinking, boy, how? But and maybe, you know, some of the things they were saying probably had some validity. And I myself was thinking, is it my responsibility to go to websites like this and read all the dirt on this and that? They don't have anything good to say about any. If you're a leader in ISKCON, you're corrupt by definition. Pretty much that's the way it goes. So, and then they can say, even this one, he did this. And even this one, everybody thinks he's so great, he did that. And so I thought, well, am I supposed to know this? Because, gee, I thought he was such a nice devotee, but maybe he's not. After that, I thought, wow, I get away from this website. I don't want to be thinking like this. So I just felt, no, I don't think it is my responsibility to, you know, have to hear the whatever. And a lot of it, in fact, I read something, for example, you know, my old friend Mahanidhi Swami, he's had some problem and resigned from ISKCON. And so I actually read something about him, and there was some truth in there, but there was a lot of just complete fabrication, things that I knew because I've known him for such a long time. Like one of the things they said about him was that there are people who have complaints about Lilamrita. So they said that Mahanidhi Swami had great influence in, you know, what was in the Lilamrita. And I know he didn't. He was like me. He did some interviews, you know. So they get things wrong. Things get inflated and overblown and so on. So, you know, part of the problem in trying to, you know, oversee the overseers is that what can we do? It's hard. We can't investigate everything that goes on. If things come our way and we're concerned about them, that's the other way. We can say, well, Krishna is going to arrange for me to get the information that I need, and if I feel in my heart that I need to do something about this, then I'll do something about it. And I think also at the other side, so one is, you know, according to our position, and the other, I think, is also according to our inclination. There are people who just have that Ishvara Bhava, and they feel like, you know, I need to do something about this. Whereas others say, well, I'm going to do something by trying to purify myself and take care of ISKCON from within, try to preach Krishna consciousness, the principles of Krishna consciousness, help everybody else. Maybe the purity will flow upward to those who aren't falling short of the mark for whatever reason. So we do what we can according to our limited sphere of influence. That's what I tend to see, because we can't. Not all of us can be everything. We can't all be policemen for ISKCON. I don't think Prabhupada, that's really what he wanted. And also partly it's, we have to, in some ways, we have to have faith that, well, Krishna is overseeing. Now, of course, we can take that too far. But things are in Krishna's hands, and I'm just a tiny servant, and I'm doing my part. So, you know, we have to balance these things with intelligence and prayer and so on. But those are a few thoughts. Krishna Keshwaru.
From this purport, we see in this whole section here, we see it's very important to break the Ekadashi fast at a certain time. Otherwise, it's, you know, the repercussions could be grave. There are many devotees who are with Prabhupada, and some of them have mentioned that in actuality, Srila Prabhupada wasn't so serious about, you know, what time you break it and those things. Once, you know, once the sun comes up, we're okay. So, what do you say about that?
Yeah, this is an ongoing debate in ISKCON, huh? How much we are concerned about minutiae of rules and regulations. I thought it seemed to me, of course, here I'm picking up on Ridhananda Maharaj's voice here. Varuna's servant should have been aware of these technical details which are meant for strict followers of the Vedic rituals. So is that us? I didn't think so when I read this, that we are not among the strict followers of Vedic rituals. Because what are, you know, Vedic rituals means, you know, the sacrifices, and just like our fire sacrifices, we tend to pick up new things, or maybe from South Indian Brahmins and Gaur Keshava Prabhu, and, you know, we learn things here and there. But just like we were hearing yesterday about the installation of Krishna Balaram, so the priests had to do it a certain way, but Prabhupada said, no, the Maha Mantra is really what's installing the deities here. So it does seem to be that that was Prabhupada's mood. Of course, there are arguments on the other side. Well, Prabhupada he had to do things quickly, so he didn't give us everything. So if we learn something, then yes, we should do it the right way. If we know something, we should try to. So I don't know if there's a definitive answer to this. It's a kind of thing. It depends on which devotee you ask, what their feeling is about it. It does seem that Prabhupada himself wasn't so strict about these things. There's even, you know, there's some question whether Prabhupada even understood all the details of the Archana Paddhati, you know, the worship system, because he never lived in one of Gaudiya Math temples and served the deities. He was serving his deities at home. So even his own training may not have included those things. And because, of course, we have Pancharatrik Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi, and Srila Prabhupada was especially infused with the mood of Bhagavad Vidhi, which is preaching. So above and beyond everything else, the Vedic rituals and rules and regulations are for our purification, of course, to make us sattvic, so that we can preach. But just chanting Hare Krishna can also give us everything we need, if we're doing it without offense, of course. That's the fine print, carefully avoiding the offenses. So I guess my one thing I think about this breaking the fast is that, like during Bhaktisiddhanta's time on this issue particularly, well, they all followed Nirjala Ekadashi. I'm pretty sure that was pretty much the standard in the Gaudiya Math, was to follow Nirjala Ekadashi. So if you're following Nirjala Ekadashi, then to me I would think, yes, then you want to be a little more attentive to the details. But if you're already eating anyway, and then you just want to make sure you eat some grains in a certain time period, then to me that's sort of like, well, I don't know how important that is. At least that's my take on it. If somehow I forget and I eat breakfast and then I forgot to eat some grains for breakfast today, I didn't break my fast right, then I don't lose a lot of sleep over it myself. That's my feeling.
And then after a while, I guess Prabhupada noticed. That's what he was telling me. We used to be together in Mayapur. And then Prabhupada says, so, I look at your face, you are feeling like what time the breakfast, what time the fasting will be over. So he was a little shy, and he says, yes, Prabhupada. He said, why don't you go downstairs, get some fruits. The most important, this is what Prabhupada told him, he was just a young boy. He said, most important to chant and remember Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Take some fruits and others, don't take grain, but come up and then think of Krishna. But I was thinking also, because I was into it at one time, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj's discussion with Prabhupada very vividly explained about this also, that where Prabhupada bring even example of Vayagrivaku, one of his godbrothers, that he was very strict on Nirjala. And he says, so Srila Prabhupada says, oh, my Guru Maharaj told Vayagriva, you are not going for preaching? And he said, no, Prabhupada, today is Ekadashi. He said, take some prasadam and go and preach. It's more important. And this is our motto, Prabhupada. So this is our motto.
Yeah.
So in that mood...
Sometimes I hear devotees tell that story and they say he told them to take grains, but I don't think that's the story. The story is he just told them to eat something because everyone else was
not
fasting
grain.
Completely.
I didn't hear
not
that.
Grains,
no.
But I've heard devotees tell the story like that. Because for ISKCON, fasting means no grain, so they think, oh, he told them to take some grain. No, he told them to eat something, not taking grain. Actually, one of the problems with following, because we're preachers, here's a good example of it. I was listening to a lot. Sometimes it's hard how to do things. This is like I was reading the Gayatri book, and you're supposed to chant your Gayatri certain times, you know. But if you live in Finland or something, you know, the sun never sets in the winter. It does sunrise, sunset, how am I supposed to chant my Gayatri? There isn't any. I was listening to a lecture once, and Yasi, who was in London, or at the Manor, he was giving class, and he said, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. He says, today is Ekadasi in New York, and tomorrow I'm going to New York, and tomorrow is Ekadasi here, but I'm not going to be here, I'm going to be in New York. So he was flying between Ekadasis, he wasn't sure what he was supposed to do. He was asking for advice, and everybody was saying, scratching their heads, they didn't know what to say. He said, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow. He just sort of flipped a coin and made up his mind. So that's the way that we face those kinds of things as preachers, that we're not living in India on the bank of the Ganges, and we're spreading Krishna consciousness around the world, and that's our priority. So, and that was, of course, Srila Prabhupada's priority too. Prabhupada would sometimes take, even as far as traveling on certain days, then, you know, is auspicious or inauspicious, he would sometimes take consideration of those things. But if there was some conflict, then, all right, not where Krishna will protect us. You know, that was the mood. We're going to preach on Krishna's behalf. If we have to not follow a Vedic ritual or rule extremely closely to the letter, then that's okay, because Bhagavad Vidhi is more important. You know, spreading Krishna consciousness is more important. But of course, Prabhupada would sometimes say, but don't take advantage. You know? Because our tendency is to always cheat. Was that expression? To drink water underwater while bathing on a fast day? On Nirjala Ekadashi? You're submerged under there, you take a little sip. Nobody's looking. Yes.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Just in regards to the words that the Prabhupada didn't know about details of worship, deity worship in front of Adiya Man. When he was living on Prabhupada temple, he used to visit also Kapalbhati Dutta.
Radharaman temple,
He used to visit there, and that is the highest
kind of
worship. He knew all the details. He didn't give us all the details, that's different. Because he mainly purposed...
He probably knew, you're probably right. He just never himself was a pujari in a temple, as far as I know.
He saw, and he knew.
What he did was he told ISKCON, you learn from them, because they know how to do it. Yeah.
That he sent to these two pujaris to that temple to learn. But saying that he didn't knew, he showed many times he knew all these details.
Yeah.
Like in a conversation, when he asked about worship deities, he knows everything. He knows about it.
But we see in it, Prabhupada wrote so many books, he spent so much time writing, but he never wrote about all those details himself. You know, he said, we can learn those, but Something else he must have felt was more important to give us. And what is it, of course? Janma Sartika Kori Karaparu Pakar. When we become Krishna conscious, give Krishna consciousness to others. The essence, of course, which is there in his books. Mataji, you had something?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your class. I actually always really look forward to hearing your classes. I wanted to take a minute to return to what Mother Kosha Rupa was bringing up. And my understanding is that Prabhupada wanted us to see things in relation to belonging to Krishna, and that we should step up and be part of a solution to a problem that we see. And an example that I can think of is when Prabhupada was taking a walk and on somebody's lawn the water was dripping early in the morning, and Prabhupada went and turned the water off himself. And I take inspiration from that, whether it's small or large, like on the temple property, anybody walking from their car to the temple, if they see a piece of debris, they can just walk past it, or they can choose to stop and pick it up and throw it in the garbage can. It doesn't have to be some big thing with saying if the management's doing a good job or if there needs to be a change in that regard. And I know that Mukya would appreciate more participation, whether it's simply coming before a Sunday feast and washing the dishes, making sure things are clean around the temple. I know she does that every Sunday. And speaking from my own service that I'm rendering right now, I would like to open up the opportunity, if anybody isn't aware, that if they have an inclination to contribute to the Child Protection Office, much more help is needed. So if that's someone's proclivity, then please, you know, speak with me. If it's their proclivity to pick up around the temple, that's much needed. I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, just basically supports what I was saying, that this is within our arena. It's not that, you know, everything that goes on international and big levels of ISKCON that we have to be concerned about, because we may not be able to do anything about it. And just to be informed about all of these things, it can also be a very big distraction of your mind, because, I mean, just ask any GBC, you know, what's the things that they have to worry about, you know, the whole world, movement worldwide. So it's not that all of us can always be absorbed in thinking about these big things. But here in our own community, at least, there are things that we can take responsibility for. Certainly come forward and help in that way. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.